Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's go in before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your presence in this place and within each one of us, Lord, makes all the difference for us to be able to connect with you and to receive from you and to manifest the things that you want to see taking place in our midst. We welcome you here. We come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our mind and our hearts to be able to grasp it, receive it, Lord, and put it to work. That, Lord, you send it for a purpose, that the purpose may be achieved as we respond to it and apply to our life. We just pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to continue on this topic that I've been talking about the last at least 2 weeks, about our union with God. This is a very important topic, very important idea that we should understand, that we should apply, that we should really manifest in us. We should be aware of it. It's not an external thing. We are not in the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. And the New Covenant has established a different rules according to which God operates in us, functions in us. And we have to understand those things, not to fall back into religion, but to move into the freedom of the children of God. So let's make sure, okay, that we come to this understanding and we start actually experiencing it. This is what Jesus experienced. He said, I do nothing. In myself, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. He was in continuous fellowship, in continuous union with the Father. And he came on earth not just to go around healing people and just make sure that they go to heaven. He's, you know, and that's not the objective. His objective, his purpose was that we come in the same contact with God the Father as he was, and so that the Father and the Holy Spirit and himself can be in us. To guide us, to empower us, and to manifest the supernatural. We have to understand that. We have to understand that this is really the key for us to live a Christian life. You know, and it's really, I don't even like, you know, that term too much. Because, you know, really what Jesus came for was to create disciples. And the mandate that we have is the same. Make disciples of all nations. And disciples are not just people that say, I believe in Jesus. Disciples are people that are open, that are listening, that are, you know, are changing, that are growing, that are depending on him to make us grow, to allow the Holy Spirit to correct us and to make us grow in the way we should become. That's what makes the difference. Okay. And Jesus was very clear, you know, saying this a number of times, a number of places, especially at the end when he gives the Great Commission. But, you know, when in the last day in which he was essentially the Last Supper, when he was actually praying for us, for himself first and for us after, okay, he was very clear on some of the things that were important and were needed to be implemented in our life, that he wanted to see manifested in us. Okay. He wanted to be able to connect with God. And he said it even, you know, John 4:20, you know, God seek those who worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not the show, it's not the story that we make, it's not the ceremony, it's not the things we say. It's what happened inside us that makes the difference. We can say nothing even. And that is enough when our position is clear. And we are strong in our position with, in agreement with him, with his thoughts, with his ideas, with his outcome. Because then we are going to experience, even in the physical, that reality. We are going to line up ourselves in our behavior, in our not just thinking, in order just around showing. That's good for the Old Testament. It wasn't good enough because Jesus had to come to fix it up. Okay. He came for a better covenant, and a better covenant to produce better, and has better promises, and should produce better results. There were no results. The results that were there were nothing compared to what should happen today. And we had to understand the difference between the two covenants and the difference in our position that we had to take, understanding what that meant. And I'm not going to go through some of the everything else that I said before. Okay, but really, okay, we need to worship by means connecting with God in spirit and in truth, not external physical things union. It is not, doesn't do it. Doesn't do it, and it will never work properly. We are going to stay in the same place without having success in our spiritual walk. Okay? The spiritual union is going to produce conflict and persecution at times, because the world doesn't like it. It doesn't like us. Okay? Because the world is only physically based, and we end up doing things that physically they cannot accept. That's one of the things that are going to be, you know, and that is really, you know, that even the people that call themselves Christians, but they're still physically based, like in the Old Testament, they are going to be just religious, and they're not going to have success in their life, and they go around as sinners because they cannot have victory by the external thing. What is born of this physical or the external is carnal and is not spiritual. And so has not spiritual power. But what's born of the spirit is spirit. Now, our connection with God is what Jesus really prayed about, okay? For he made that possible. Before it was not possible. Even when he was alive on earth, okay? The people were connecting with him physically. They could not have the connection with him that they had when he left and they sent out by the Holy Spirit to us and to them. Everything changed even for them. And we can see the difference with the disciples, with the apostles, when the Spirit came down and they became bold and they could start understanding something that they never understood before. We cannot understand spiritual things with carnal mentality. We need to understand things in the Spirit. That means we need the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to us and wisdom for us to be able to appropriate the things that God has prepared for us. Are you following me? That's important to understand. Okay. In fact, you know, even John chapter 17, all the from verse 9, I think, to the following, to the 29, when it's the end of the chapter, it's all about Jesus praying for us. Okay? And in that prayer, we can see that he said many things that actually are said in many other places in the Bible. So you see, we don't need to go by just one verse or one scripture. It's actually, if you start grasping this thought, that God wants to be in union with you. That means line up your heart with his heart, his thought with your thought, you know, his desire, his understanding, his wisdom with your wisdom and his wisdom together. This is what he expects. This is what he wants. And if we go to 1 John chapter 2. No, sorry. I don't know why I said chapter 2. Chapter 1. Starting from verse 3, he says exactly the same thing that he says in John chapter 17. And I'm starting with there because John expanded on the topic so that we can understand how that takes place. Jesus had other things to say too, so he just didn't explain everything. And that often he thought he did. He expected us to receive the understanding because our heart were open. If your heart is closed, I can spell everything out. Jesus can spell everything out. The Holy Spirit can be there talking to you all the time. Nothing happens. Okay? Our heart determines where we get the impact in our life, the manifestations that we get. Now, this is that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. He's talking about having fellowship, you know, with him, with, you know, what the, and the, we, the people were with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's talking about you have fellowship with us, we have fellowship with him, we are all fellowshipping together. We are all in unity. It's not an external unity, but it's an internal unity that results in external unity. Okay. See, so our fellowship, John's fellowship, and it was with the Father and in, with Christ. So he had fellowship. And so that you may have the same fellowship as John had with the Father. I have it. I have some water. Thank you. All right, that's the thing that we hear he was emphasizing, yeah, fellowshipping. I mean, fellowship or union or being together is the same thing. Okay, let me continue here. See, how we lose that connection. This is talking about a connection that we should have with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when other people connect the way we are connected, they're going to be connected with us because there is no other possibility. Because we think the same way. We have the same mind, the mind of Christ. We had the same vision, the same motives, the same understanding, the same everything. And it's not theoretical. It's not something that is up there someplace. No, this is actually that is manifested even today when the right things are in place. Let me continue here. So how is this connection broken? Well, how do you break the connection with God? Sinning. When you sin, that means when you don't do the things that God wants you to do, you break the connection. Now, here it says, verse 5. No, yeah, no, so I had to read you first, verse 4 first. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. That's a very important concept here that I had to add to the fact of having this fellowship with him, with the Father, with the Son, and with everybody else. So that your joy may be full. See, the expectation that John had that we are going to, you know, the way our joy, the joy that Jesus experienced many times and talked about in the previous verses of the chapter, you know, that joy is going to be our experience. See, we should have the same spiritual experiences that Jesus had. That's, he came to be our example. Not to be something up there that, no, he came and operated the way we operate, functioned the way we function, had to depend on the Father for everything he did, as we had to depend on the Father, that's everything you need. I mean, or the Holy Spirit, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. You see, we had to depend, we had to connect with the spiritual dimension to be receiving that feeding of information or direction of a position that we have to be able to walk in connection with him. Now, so the joy that Jesus experienced is what we should also have. And can, you know, nobody can take it away from us. The one that can take it away is because we give up for other things, because we break the connection. Now, let me continue here. So, and this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and that in him there is no darkness at all. So that is really, you know, light means be able to see. Light enables us to see. We should want to know. See, in spirit and in truth, we should want to see the truth. We should want to know the truth. That's the only goal that we should have in our life. Because if we know the truth is only in God. It's only in this word. It's only in Jesus Christ. So as we just seek for the truth, not for the ideas that we have about the truth, then we are going to be moving in the right direction, because there is always lots of truth that we still don't have. Okay. And we have to go on to see these things. And so we have to be open. Okay. So in him, there is no darkness at all. So he's going to bring, as we connect with him, in the areas that we are lining up our thoughts, he's going to shine light on the things that we are still in darkness. That's what the job of the Holy Spirit is. The job of the Holy Spirit is guiding us into all truth. When we are not in truth, we are in darkness. I mean, that seems logical. It's either one or two, one or the other. Okay, so we need to seek to eliminate, destroy all darkness inside us by aligning ourselves, our thinking, and our position with his thinking and his mind and his thoughts and his way, you know, his values, his priorities, his, you know, decision, his judgment. See, Jesus had righteous judgment. What does it mean? That he made the decision always according to the right way. And that's what has to happen for us as well. This is what God is doing. That's where the light is in, and we are accepting the truth. Now, let me continue. And we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So you see, and this is really, how do you know, how do you figure that out? Well, it's very simple. Okay. When we walk, that means, you know, the way we behave, the way we do things. When we do things that do not line up with the word, we are in darkness. How do you know that we are in darkness, that we don't think that line up with it? Well, you had to seek the word, compare the word, what the word says, with what you are doing, and then you find out the things that you are not lining up yourself. It's very simple. But it's not that, no, the point is, you know, the question is, it's not just simply, well, I'm going to do that. Well, if you do the wrong thing, it's because you think the wrong way. So the problem is not in the doing. We are not in the Old Testament that is based on the physical. You have to go inside yourself and say, what's wrong with me in my thinking that needs to be corrected, because the word says something different here, and you start seeking God to find the truth about your wrong thinking, and you have to reject the thinking, not the action. The action is going to go off automatically when your thinking is right. But when your thinking is wrong, you're going to do the same thing over and over again. And there is nothing you can do because you are programmed that way. Are you following me? So, how do you do how do you keep the fellowship? Exactly the way the fellowship with God. See, the very moment you are in darkness and you are doing things in disagreement with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there inside your head, inside your heart, trying to get to you to tell you that's not good. He's not going to put you down. He's going to just try to communicate with you. But if your heart is closed, the heart, remember, is the gatekeeper that allows thoughts to go through your spirit to your mind. He's going to keep him out. And you're going to stay in the darkness that you are finding up to that moment. You're never going to change. You're not going to have victory. God, when God works in you and you align yourself with God, you get victory. There is no question. You are not going to do the same thing anymore. Why? Because you think differently. You are different programming. Your heart essentially is the filter or the programmer that allows you to do things one way or another. And when things don't go the way they should, then you have to deal with the heart, not with the physical thing. It's not because you get caught that that's really true repentance. You realize, oh, no, that doesn't work. Oh, this isn't. No, you know, it's not the physical that is the key. The physical is the manifestation of the spiritual problem that you got. And until that problem is resolved, which is a judgment in the heart that justifies what you're doing, and that is all right, you have to say, no, that's wrong. That's what the word says. And you go see in the spiritual. You see, you do work in spiritual and in spirit and in truth, not in just physical thing. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. You cannot fix your spirit changing your flesh. You change your spirit. You change your heart, actually. And you change your flesh automatically. Are you still with me? So how do you keep our fellowship with the Father and with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and with the others that are in light? Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, same thing I said before. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse us if we don't truly repent. That means if we don't change our way of thinking. We are not in the Old Testament that the only thing was called was covering. But they were still not functioning. You see, that's the typical typical explanation of what I'm saying. In the Old Testament, nobody would be really cleansed. They were still doing the same thing. Why? Because there was no true repentance. It was only a physical thing. We're just following the law. And the law is inadequate for us to overcome. We're going to see the verses explaining it very clearly. See, that's why Jesus had to come. Because the law was inadequate. It was the covenant there, the understanding was missing it. We need to operate in the Spirit the same way as Jesus operated. And we had to, you know, the results that we, spiritual results that we get, come from our spirit. That means, you know, from our heart. That's where the decisions are made. The true decisions. The true judgment. See, we had to come to the right judgment about the things that we are exposed to, the things that we do, the things that rule our life. Okay, so But when we do that, when we walk in the light, that means, you know, we are not walking just, okay, by the external thing, but we are walking, the way we walk is determined by what's going on, our thinking, what just we justify ourselves. Okay, that's the thing, what is in our heart. And sometimes we don't even know what is in our heart. Okay, there is not by physical rules, like the law, but by seeing and understanding what? The truth in the Word. So we had to get to the understanding of the truth to be able to walk in it. You cannot walk in the truth. You don't walk in something you don't know. That seems completely logical as well. Okay. Walking in the truth is the key. Walking in understanding so that you can know is not the letter of the Word, but the spirit of the Word. Jesus broke the letter of the Word very often. Example, Sabbath. The Jews were based on the letter, the physical. Oh, Saturday, Sabbath. You cannot do things. Stay there. Don't move. Jesus was going around. Number one, was breaking already. Was healing people. Just getting them furious about it. Because they didn't understand anything. They thought they understood the law. When the law was expressing something that they could not grasp. Was saying the same thing. Jesus didn't break any law. According to them, broke the law. But he was completely walking in the truth, not in the physical description that they understood. All right. So without understanding the truth, okay, without your judgment being righteous, you cannot walk right. You cannot have a righteous relationship with God. You cannot be righteous. Because your judgment are unrighteous. We are quiet. But that's the truth. See, when we understand that, and we understand how to connect with God and how to relate to Him, you're going to get supernatural events all the time. When you really repent about something and the repentance is true according to what I'm explaining now, you're not going to do that anymore. Unless, you know, if you do it, it's because the enemy has done such a way that distracted you and you just sucked you in there and you didn't realize. But as soon as you realize it, you stop yourself and you're going to do something about it because you know that it's wrong. Okay, you take a position, and when you take that position, that the true position, we know when you really repent, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If cleanses you, there is not even there the desire anymore. And that is a manifestation of the power, of the spiritual power that God has. But it's not going to be any effect. The blood of Jesus, well, there's nothing for the world that's out there. Or even for the people that call themselves Christians, but they do not understand and they go, they're just religious. And so they keep thinking that they are sinners saved by grace. Well, they are still sinners. We don't supposed to be sinners. We're supposed to be saints. Are you following me? Okay. Now, let me continue here. Well, this is, you know, that concept is expressed all over the place in the Bible, not just in this place. You know, Jesus said the same thing in chapter 17. It's everywhere. So we have to understand this is the way we keep the fellowship. When we break that fellowship because we don't want to listen, then we are not connected anymore. All the benefits of what Jesus did, we lose. And this is why we realize, when we realize that, that's what the fear of God is. Then we want to do the things the right way, because otherwise we are not in the presence. We are not, God is not operating inside us. We are just the external manifestation, but there is nothing spiritually actually happening within us. Now, the power of the blood is released by the truth that we understand and embrace, and not from a physical formula, the activities that we do. Not the words that we say. It's what we truly believe. Okay? So, but there is a big positioning with the New Testament, okay? And when we understand that, you know, we can recover the fellowship. We can recover the fellowship because Jesus made it possible. You see, the question is, we can, if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, that means we never repented. Because if we really repented, then we are going to be changed and we're not going to do it. That's as simple as that. But we maybe the only reason why we never repented is because we are too ignorant to know about spiritual things. And we are still operating on the Old Testament and we don't understand the New Covenant. Okay, so we need to understand. Understanding is critical. That's why Paul was praying for the Ephesians, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that they may understand things about spiritual things, so that they may overcome. Otherwise, you can't overcome. You then cannot overcome. You're saying a prayer, you know, like a magic formula. Is when the prayer means nothing if it's not in spirit and in truth. And if you don't have understanding, it's not in spirit and in truth. So, yeah, let me continue. But we can restore the position if we once and all, you know, by truly repenting. Verse 8. And if you say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So you see, the truth is God's judgment about what's happening. So our perspective, it has to be at this spiritual level, the heart level, okay? If we confess our sins, and confessing there is not a question of just say, oh, I sinned. Confessing is homologeo. Homologeo means, you know, that we are actually saying the same thing in spiritually that God is saying. That means we are in full agreement with what we are saying. That means that we... Our heart agrees with that position, that judgment. This is wrong. And you know that it's wrong. And because it's wrong, you reject it. And you don't want to have anything to do with it. And when your position of the heart is that way, you don't like that thing anymore. Because it's a question of value. Judgment or value is the same thing. If something you value, you're going to do it again. But it's something that you despise, doesn't appeal to you, does it? I mean, turns you off, makes you sick at the stomach, just thinking about it, that you could do that because you know, because you have the same mentality, the same thought that God has. And so when you do that, you take that little step that is not very much. It's just simply coming to the realization, the understanding that is involved. You're dealing with the issues inside you that need to be changed. Okay? It's not just speaking some word that mean nothing because you heard somebody saying that you had to say them. That's a waste of time. See, you have to go deep, dig inside yourself, take the time, go to the word, say why these things is bad. See, you know, you have to come to the understanding. And, you know, sometimes there's no way you can get it. But if you want badly enough, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you. See, that's where it has to come. Finally, you open up to listen what the Holy Spirit has been telling you for a long time before, that you just were shutting off because, you know, because your flesh was taking over. Are you still with me? Okay, let's keep going here. So that is what confession is. Okay, and repenting is really agreeing at the judgment level, at the position level, you know, with what God says and the Word says. Because the Word is there from which that's where we get the understanding. Okay, the Word says that shouldn't happen in the physical, and, you know, and this is what happened connected to the spiritual dimension. So we need to see the connection, and we start adjusting or aligning our thinking. Now, so, true repentance, that is. Okay, if we keep falling, that means that we, two possibility. One, that we have been tricked. As soon as, but if that's the case, it's not a big problem. Because, you know, you get mad at yourself, you make mad at the devil, and your next time you're going to be more careful. But if you just fall into it over and over again, and you're not going to fall in many times. But if you fall over and over in it, that means that you really don't understand it at the spiritual level. Okay? You're confused. You are deceived, says the before, you know, that when you sin, it's because you are deceived. Okay? So here we go. Continue here. Verse 10. If we say that you have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, when the word is in us, I mean, then the Holy Spirit's job is to open the word to us. As he opened the word to us, then we get the understanding. And as we get the understanding, we see the conflict with the way we feel and the way our judgment and God's judgment. And then we have to make a decision. And that decision is repentance. Okay? Now, so, the word in us is where the difference comes. Is and also, you know, the judgment that God has on the particular things that we are falling. And that's the judgment should be in our heart. We have to agree with it. We have to believe it. We have to accept it as God speaking to us. Okay. See, in Romans chapter 8, there is a scripture that people use, and often they use it wrongly, completely, because you tell them something that they are doing wrong. So you put condemnation on me. Well, but probably you should have condemnation. I mean, if you do the wrong thing and you go against God's laws, you should be feeling condemned. Simple as that. Because you are disobeying, but you just don't want to know it. Okay? Says there. Let me continue. Romans 8:1. There is therefore not a condemnation on those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's an important thing. Are you in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? That you are lined up with him. His thoughts, his judgment, his idea. Okay, continue. Who walk according to the, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when we walk according to the flesh, we should feel condemned. But when we walk according to the Spirit, we know that we are doing the right thing. Okay? So, and we have to understand what really means to walk in, you know, according to the flesh and how to judge ourselves and so on and so forth. So we need to have some experience. And that's why, you know, new believers, they have to go through a process in which they learn to walk in the Spirit. Walk according to the Word. Not because they are legalists, but because they understand the spirit of the law and not the letter. Now, all right. So, the freedom that we have come from our heart alignment with God's thought. The fact that we are not condemned and everything else. Says, so, you know, we can see later on in verse 2, but the law of the spirit of light, of life in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Okay. That doesn't mean because you have light, you can go around doing whatever you want to do. No. What it means is that because you have light, because you can see the truth, because you have embraced the truth, you are free from all the other judgments that are wrong, and you have rejected them, and you stand for the truth, and you value the truth, what it means, instead of value the wrong stuff. You love the truth and the truth things that the world says, not all the junk in the world. It's not the effort. There is no effort of having victory, complete victory. See, the process for us to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory is as we understand more and more what God's judgments are, the more and more we are going to make those decisions on our judgment as well, and the old stuff, the old junk, the old sin stuff, the old desire, the wrong values are just dropping off. They can stay there. You walk clear, cleaner, and cleaner all the time. You get sanctified. Okay? You get transformed. You changed completely. And that what really is, that all the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. See, that's the power, you know, what I was reading before, you know, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You know, that's what the way it happens. Okay, and we're going to expand a bit more in just in a second. Okay. And the reason is there is power in the new covenant. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There wasn't there in the blood of goats and other things. There wasn't there in the law. Because here we are dealing at a spiritual level. And the spiritual level is always more powerful than the physical level. We get farther and quicker, better results spiritually, and they manifest themselves in the physical. Because what happens in the spirit always manifest in the physical. When you sin, you don't sin in the physical. You know, the manifestation can be there or not, but you're still sinning. Jesus said it. You look at the woman in the wrong way, you commit adultery. So now, well, if you commit adultery, it's even worse. But the point is, you know, possibly because you didn't have the opportunity. Because your decision was already made when you accepted the thought. Are you still with me? All right. So we want to be able, when we understand this process, then we are going to start participating in it. And as we participate in it, things fall off us. I'm not saying it. The word says very clearly that if we understand it and we, you know, understand it, we have to apply it to ourselves. Okay. And, you know, the fourth verse, confirm what I just finished saying, you know, for what, Romans 8:3, you know, for what the law could not do, the Old Testament, in that it was weak through the flesh, looking at the physical thing, you cannot judge physical, spiritual things. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So you see, this is God's solution to the problem. We needed to learn to look at things in a spiritual way, not in a physical way. The law was doing things in the physical. They could not do it. But when he came and he died for us, and we received the Spirit of God inside us because we accept what he's done, because we believe in him, then something happened that opens our eyes. When we are born again, we can start seeing this. The kingdom of God. We start seeing the spiritual dimension. We start entering it. And, you know, there is a process there in which we start to have the eyes to see so that we see where we are wrong. When we think like the world thinks. And we, you know, that's the only thing you can do. Because why? Because that's the way you grew up. That's the way you develop. That's the way you were programmed. God has to reprogram you for you to be able to get the understanding, okay, spiritually, and to overcome. Okay. So let's go back to, actually today we never didn't talk about at all, chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. Okay. But he says the same thing there, okay? So chapter 17, verse 13. But now I come to you, Jesus saying, and these things I speak in the world around, you know, physically around you, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So you see, the things that I said before, didn't say anything yet. Okay. But you know, you're saying that the joy may be full. Okay, we see that the verses were coming before. So he is actually speaking those things that he speaks so that we may be able to hear what he's saying and we may be able to understand if we understand what he's saying. So that we may be able to get this communion with the Father, because when we are communion with the Father, then our joy may be full. We may experience the joy that he experienced, because he experienced that joy. Okay. May my joy be fulfilled in themselves. Okay. But he had to make us aware of that. Okay, I have the scripture here. Actually, John 16, the previous chapter, you know, was always the same night anyway. Okay, verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. You ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You see, one of the manifestations, one of the consequences of this union with God, when we ask something in his name, is that our joy may be full. That means we're going to get the answer. Simple as that. The way he got the answers. I mean, did we see Jesus praying for something and says, you know, it didn't work this time? God said, no, no way. All the time, pray for people, if they need a healing, if they need other things, and here he's praying for us, so, you know, he got the answer even there. The manifestation, the experience we have, he understood the way God works, and he did nothing else and pray for us that we may be able to participate in this process, understand, and, you know, grasp what he was saying, and he's just make sure that, you know, repeats the same thing sometime over and over so that we may grasp it. Ready? Anyway, it's taking longer. Just about time to close. All right. So, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You see, that's one of the consequences, okay, having our prayer answers of our fellowship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, when we ask according in his name, I mean, according to his authority, according to his principle, okay, first of all, you're going to ask the right thing, not the wrong thing. I mean, you're not going to ask, Lord, help me to rob a bank. Does it make sense, does it? You're not going to ask something that you know that is contrary to the word. So you already asked for the right thing. But not only that, okay, they are also lined up. You know, there are many things that we can expect God promised to us. So it's the right thing to ask. See a promise? It's okay to ask it. But if you are not lined up, you don't qualify because you are not in Christ. So you had to get in Christ. You see, that's the promise of God, yea, and amen, in Christ Jesus, not in your will. That's a big difference. We may want lots of things, but we had to be obedient. Okay, so let me continue here. Chapter 17, I had to find a place to land. Amen. one more thought, as usual. I keep going. Okay. See, something Jesus said here is so interesting, so astonishing, so, you know, wow. The only thing you can say. Verse 14. I give them your word, and the world that has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Listen to what he's saying. That as he, as Jesus, was not of the world, so are we. Why? Because doesn't the world is not appealing. The things of the world, the values of the world are no longer appealing to us. We have God's values. We have God's desires. We have God's thoughts. Because the world is there and has been working in us to create those things. And now the world does it, you know, well, we had to talk about next week. But the idea is that, you know, we had to start seeing us not as part of the world, but being the way Jesus is, like he was not of the world, so are we. We had to embrace the idea, even if sometimes seems strange, you know, what does it really mean for us? How are we going to be implementing it? You know, well, you don't have to do anything. When you change the way you think, you don't think anymore according to the world system, according to the world idea, according to the world values and things. You don't fit anymore. Why? Because the place you fit is up there. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Well, I don't think I can finish this, but we can, as usual, but but we are going to finish, do some more next week. Do you get anything today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, the whole thing that Jesus came to make disciples, not churchgoers. Disciples are people that are learning from him to do what he did. And that are growing continuously in a spiritual dimension as he was growing. Because he grew too. The Bible said that. Now, so I think we should pray. Okay? Let's pray together. Let's pray together, okay, to state some of the things that, you know, to make a declaration and a position that we take ourselves. See, it doesn't matter that Jesus says that. It's when we take that position and we stand in that place and we don't let anything change at that we are going to see results. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He prayed for us for these things. He prayed that we are not of this world as he was. So, if we are following him, and if we are obeying him, if we are open to him, that's what we are going to be, because he got the prayer answered already. And he's going to be answered more and more as we grow into him. Anyway, so, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus did for us. We acknowledge the good things that he said. We believe it, that we are in a better covenant. And Jesus understood our struggle and the fight that we have against the flesh. He prayed for us. He prays for his disciples. His disciples include us today. They are not just the apostles at this time. We are his disciples. We choose to be his disciples. And we, as disciples of Jesus, we have fellowship with him and with the Father. and with the Holy Spirit. And we will be careful to keep that fellowship by being obedient, by listening, by comparing the word to our walk, by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth so that we may walk in the freedom of the children of God. Thank you, Lord, for your love, because it's not by our strength or by how good we are, but it's by what you do in our life that changes us and that makes us more and more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, we believe it, and we receive it. Amen and amen.